the idea for a utopia.
And it would be for British second sons. And these were young men from wealthy families who were going to inherit little to nothing because of their birth order. He didn't know where he wanted to do it. I think he looked at several places around the world, and he settled on what is now the Big South Fork.
Exploring historic Rugby, today in the Upper Cumberland. Right at the junction of Fentress, Morgan, and Scott counties lies the historic community of Rugby. No doubt you've heard of Rugby, but do you know the story behind the community? Today, a local volunteer who fell in love with the story of Rugby. Lindsay Ferrier, thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
All right, let's start with a history lesson. We have heard of Rugby, but what is Rugby?
Rugby is actually the last British colony. So that's always interesting to tell people. It was founded by a man named Thomas Hughes. He was a famous British author back in the late 1880s, and he'd written a book called Tom Brown's School Days. And that ended up becoming, I guess, basically the equivalent of a New York Times bestseller in England. And of course, in England at that time, there was no television, there was no movie theater. So if you were an author, you were very famous and followed everything that you did and said was covered in the newspapers. And so he became very well known, started kind of running around in the literary community with Charles Dickens and people of that nature, made his fortune based on that book, Tom Brown's School Days, and decided he wanted to use some of that fortune to start what he called a utopia, which would be a class-free agricultural society, and it would be for British second sons. And these were young men from wealthy families who were going to inherit little to nothing because of their birth order. He didn't know where he wanted to do it. I think he looked at several places around the world, and he settled on what is now the Big South Fork on the Cumberland Plateau. Fell in love with it.
The natural question is how? How did he ever know about?
He must have, because I heard one of the places he looked at was New Zealand. So I don't know how many places he traveled to, but he did travel to the Big South Fork. He wrote about it. We still have the writing today. And he just absolutely loved it. He called it magical. He decided this is where it was going to happen. He got a group of investors together and convinced in the end about 300 people to come to this piece of land, basically, on the Cumberland Plateau and create a village. And they named it Rugby, which was the name of his own school, which Tom Brown's School Days was based on.
That's just so amazing because you think back at that time, this was a remote part of the world.
Yes.
I mean, here in rural Tennessee.
Yes.
And that he found this and then decided this, of all the places in the world, this is where I wanted to do this.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's so interesting because the tabloids covered this like crazy. So like Harper's Weekly, it was written about everywhere. Because you think not only do you have this famous author, you also have these fabulous young men and women from wealthy families. They were all very attractive and well-dressed, and they were coming on this great adventure to the New World to make their fortunes. So they knew that they were doing something important, and they documented everything. Every letter was saved, every receipt, everything was preserved so that we can look at that now and see what it was like and know how long it took them to get from the train by horse to the village. I mean, it just seemed like a very arduous journey by today's standards, but a lot of people made that journey to go there and live.
And what did he want this utopia to be?
I think he just wanted these men and women, which I'm sure he was friends with, to have a fighting chance. I mean, they were very limited in what they could do in England. And I think he liked the idea of what if there were no classes and nothing like that, and you could just make your fortune based on your work, and you could work together and have kind of a perfect society. So it was, I'm sure that they came with big dreams. They hired one of the most famous architects in America, a man named Cornelius Onderdonk, and he built a church and a school and some lovely homes, and they ended up building a wonderful grand hotel. As soon as they got there, they started social clubs, they started a cornet band, theatrical productions, they built lawn tennis courts. One of the first things they did was build trails down to the river and make a gentleman's swimming hole and a women's swimming hole, because they bathed at that time every day in England. And even when they were living in tents, they were going to bathe every day, no matter what. So that was one of the most important things that they created, and that is now the oldest continuously used swimming hole in the United States. Still regularly used, beautiful trail down to it. But yeah, so they created this great society. They took tons of pictures of themselves. I think of them as Victorian selfies because all these attractive men and women having the time of their lives. What they didn't want to do was work. They were not farmers, and they had never really worked before. And so between that fact and just kind of a string of misfortunes, which included the coldest winter on record and an outbreak of typhoid that killed, I think, 9 colonists, and then the Grand Hotel burned down not once but twice, the colony lasted about 10 years, and then it just kind of fell apart and everyone scattered.
Wow. It's the story of Rugby, and we're exploring that with Lindsay Ferrier. We'll continue. Lindsay Ferrier is our guest. So Thomas Hughes, did he fund the colony all through the 10 years that it existed?
I do not think it was just him. I think there was a group of investors, from what I understand, and they were very concerned with how things were going over there. One of the famous stories is that they sent a man who some would call a spy over to stay in the boarding house and just kind of take notes on everyone and see who was actually doing work and who wasn't. And those notes still exist today. And he stayed in a front room in the boarding house where you can still stay today. He actually got sick while he was there and died in that room. And I think he had convinced his wife and son to come over finally, and they arrived like a day or two after he died.
Oh,
so it was
wow.
Very sad. But yeah, he had fallen in love with rugby while he was there spying for the colony and had decided to stay.
So from the time that the colony ended, what happened to the facilities that they had built?
A lot of the buildings and homes fell into ruin. However, there were always just enough people who stuck around to preserve the important places, most notably the church and the library. The church is virtually unchanged from when it was built in the 1880s. Even the original paint is on the walls, and it's dark enough in the church that it looks like it could have been painted 10 years ago. It's wow. Really hard to believe that it's that old, because they have fleur-de-lis painted as detail, and I mean, they look like they just were painted. And all the original furniture is still there. And then the library is really the crown jewel of Rugby. When it was built in the mid-1800s, because of Thomas Hughes' fame as a writer, publishers in London, maybe some in the United States, all donated books for this library. And there ended up being about 7,000 volumes donated. I think the oldest is from the 1600s, an old Bible. And almost every single book is still in that library today.
I mean, we're talking literally, as I remember from a story we did several weeks ago, just a handful.
Yeah, like 6 or 7, I think.
Yeah.
And the great thing is one of them was returned right before Christmas, and it happened to be a book about Santa Claus.
Was found at a Knoxville yard sale,
yes,
or something.
Years right? ago, yeah. A man found it and noticed that it had the library markings on the inside from the Rugby library. And so we do ghost tours at night now. We have two women who do those tours, and he found out that one of his friends was going to a ghost tour in Rugby, and he asked her to return a book for him.
That's unbelievable. What do we know about what the people of Fentress and Cumberland counties thought of this colony when it first arrived?
I think it was a really interesting combination of people, because you have these wealthy British people coming over who don't know anything really about the land or farming. And then you have people who've been there for generations who know everything that there is to know. So I think it was uneasy at times. We have records of, you know, a little bit of like, who are these people? Who do they think they are? They don't know what they're doing. But ultimately, I think there were a lot of friendships that were made. There are descendants of families who were original, who were there before Rugby. And there are records of friendships, things like that. There's a really famous story about two boys being lost, or maybe they might have been young men, but they were lost in the Big South Fork. And the Rugby community had no idea where to even begin looking for them. And the people who'd been there for generations came in and helped, and they were found. And I believe there was a big feast celebrating their return. And that marked a big turning point between the two communities, kind of getting along and working together.
How did the rugby of today, which is a great tourist destination, when did that all come about?
That really, it's happened throughout the years with private individuals taking an interest in the colony's history, buying up as much property as they could, keeping up the original houses. But in the 1970s, there was a young man named Ryan Stagg who really took an interest in it and created a nonprofit called Historic Rugby and began fundraising, really kind of spearheaded the effort to have a board, start offering tours, start offering special events, and raise serious funding to keep these historic buildings preserved.
What will I see when I go to Rugby today?
You will see one road that goes through the town. It's very, very small. The church is on that road, the old schoolhouse, the library. We had a cafe that was very popular. It burned down a few years ago, but we are in the process of rebuilding that right now. Several homes are on the main road. And then there is a road that goes off from the church that leads into the community where the original homes were supposed to be built. There were supposed to be more built. It's called Beacon Hill. You are allowed to build homes in two neighborhoods in Rugby, but they have to meet those Carpenter Gothic standards of the original homes.
Some would wonder, is this a state historic site? Is it a federal historic site, or is it privately organized?
I believe it's a combination. I mean, it's definitely historically preserved, and the Big South Fork actually borders Rugby, so that creates a buffer on one side. There was quite a bit of land donated to the state, which has become the Rugby State Natural Area, and so we kind of help keep that maintained along with the state, and there are lots of trails in Rugby itself because of that. So, and then private individuals have bought as much land as they could around Rugby as well, just in an effort to keep any development from happening anywhere near the area.
We're visiting with Lindsay Ferrier as we talk about historic Rugby, and we'll talk about some of the events that happen. There's always a full calendar of things going on as we continue. Introducing you to one of the treasures of the Upper Cumberland, it is historic Rugby. You've heard about it. Maybe you wondered what it is and what there is to see. Lindsay Ferrier is here with us. There are a number of events that go on during the course of the year that give you an excuse, if you needed one, to take the short drive and see Rugby. How important are having those events to bringing people to the community?
Oh, they're huge. Different events bring different kinds of people, too. So it's just interesting to see who shows up. Some events tend to draw people regionally, and then some events draw people from across the country. So it's always interesting to see who's going to show up in the village.
What is the kind of the biggest event of the year that goes on?
I'd say we have a few. The fall is kind of our biggest season, the fall and winter leading into Christmas. So we have a ghostly gathering at the end of October, the last two weekends of October. That always sells out. And so we have ghost tours, and then we have a storytelling tent with really well-known storytellers from around the region. And it's just a really great time. Everyone loves it. The weather is amazing. And Rugby is considered to be one of the most haunted towns in America, so it always gets a good turnout. It's very family friendly. And then our other huge event would be the Victorian Christmas, which is the first two weekends of December. And we have music and vendors and food and Father Christmas and a lot of people in costumes. That is also the only time that private homes are open for tours.
So it's a great time to kind of mark your calendar for that when December comes back around.
Yes. But, I mean, we really have events throughout the year. We open for the season next weekend. So it's like mid-March through mid-December is technically our season. And what that means is that Thursdays through Sundays, our historic tours are offered. You can shop in the commissary where there are local arts and crafts. We have an art gallery. We have a printing works with tours. And then there is a general store down the street called R.M. Brooks, which opened in 1917 and looks exactly the same today. And that is open every day except Wednesday and Sunday for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And then we have a food truck while our cafe is being rebuilt with a wonderful gourmet chef making the most amazing menu items. She does a lot of sandwiches, but she has a few signature dishes as well. And she's open Thursday through Sunday. Our lodging is available year-round, and it's honestly really fun to go when there's something going on, and it's also a great time to go when there's nothing going on, because then it's a true getaway, and you can get onto probably 10 to 15 different hiking trails just by walking out of your door in Rugby.
Wow. So it really is one of those places that you can just explore and kind of explore at your own pace.
Yes. And so we're starting the season. We've started beginning our season with the Irish Road Bowling Tournament. Irish Road Bowling has become a really big deal in Rugby. We are offering it on the second and fourth Saturdays all the way through fall. We begin it with a big tournament. We'll have live music and food and all of that kind of thing. But then you can also come and register for the tournament and play Irish Road Bowling, which is a course that is on the road. And you compete in teams. And the game is very simple. Everyone has a small cannonball, according to the rules. And each team tries to complete the course in the fewest number of throws. So it's,
wow.
It sounds kind of like, what is that? It's so uncomplicated. And when we do our Saturday night road bowling games, the teams are chosen at random. So truly anyone has a chance to win. I would say it's mostly a social game. Everyone walks down the road together. A lot of the locals bring cocktails and have drinks while we're playing. It's just a great opportunity to socialize and make friends with people. And just a really fun time. And we've had such a huge turnout from people in the area, Cookeville included, just to enjoy coming out. And I've noticed that when they come out, they keep coming as the season progresses.
The one thing that I guess we haven't talked about, and because of where it is located, the natural beauty has to be out of this world.
It's spectacular. It really is. It's I would say that the short hike down to the Gentleman's Swimming Hole, which is right beyond our historic cemetery, is one of my favorite hikes in all of Tennessee. And I'm a big hiker. I've been on most of the trails in Tennessee, and that is just one of my all-time favorites. It goes right down to the Clear Fork River. It's a beautiful spot in the river. It's totally scenic. And yeah, you've got the Big South Fork nearby, which is a lot of people's favorite natural area in Tennessee to hike in. I can't even tell you how many trails there are nearby and state parks that are within an hour of Rugby. So a lot of people come to Rugby and stay there with the intent to hike all weekend.
What would be your message to the person who has heard of Rugby, but Lindsay has never visited?
Well, the history is pretty well known. If you look it up, you can find out all about the history. The history is fascinating, and I think it's worthy of a PBS series, honestly, like a Downton Abbey-style series. But honestly, the thing that everyone talks about, every journalist who comes to Rugby talks about, are the people. We have about 75 villagers, but it is such a community of interesting, sociable people who are just there for each other. And I felt it as soon as I went there and started meeting the people who live there. But it's amazing to me how many people go and comment on it. Even when they're writing about it professionally, that's what they come away with is, yeah, the history was great, but the people are just so friendly and so amazing. And I think that that is what brings people back, to be honest.
And it all started with a dream of a utopia, and of all the places in the world, they chose that part of Tennessee.
Yeah, we like to say that they say it's a failed utopia, but we say it didn't really fail because it feels like a utopia now.
There's plenty of information on Rugby online, and watch for all of the festivals and events that will be going on during the course of this year. One of those places in the Upper Cumberland that's less than a gas tank away from where you're sitting right now. Lindsay Ferrier with Historic Rugby, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you.